President Truman's press and radio conference in the Old State Building, 29 May, 1952.
Well, the Navy clock was on time this time, so I'm on time. Please be seated. I want to express my appreciation for the attendance of the NATO editors. I hope they'll enjoy the conference, and I hope they'll also enjoy their entire visit here in this country and get some information that'll be of value to them. There's been some discussion about the arrival of General Eisenhower. As soon as he gets through with the One More Club down to the airport, he's going to come up to the White House and pay his courtesy call on the President and make his report to me. Any questions you might ask, and I'll try to answer them if I can.
The President will be in your office, I assume.
Be in my study in the White House.
In the White House?
Yeah.
Mr. President, do you plan to see him again before he leaves Tyler Tuesday?
Yes, I expect to see him again. What do you want to do?
I want to clear up the on Monday.
Oh, yes, I'll see him on Monday.
Are you finished with General Eisenhower now?
Yep. Unless you fellas want some more information.
Down in Missouri last week, party leader said that you had inferred to him that you were for the Attorney General of Missouri for a nomination for the Senate, and that you were not for Mr. Simon.
I'm going to vote for the Attorney General when it comes my time to vote. I'm taking no personal interest in the primary or any activity in it, but I shall support Buck Taylor.
Is that J. E. Taylor?
Yeah, J. E. Taylor. Everybody calls him Buck.
President, I hate to bring this up at a time like this with NATO editors, but Congressman Polk of Texas made a speech in the House yesterday, it's in the congressional record, in which he said that he imagines that nations of the world with whom we are now negotiating treaties might be reluctant to sign up with us since you, in vetoing the Tidelands bill, repudiated an international treaty made with the Republic of Texas.
I have not read the speech, and the veto message covers that very ground. You read the message, and you won't have to ask me that question. I say you read the message, and then you won't have to ask any comment from me. That covers it.
Well, no, sir, if you don't mind my saying so, sir, I read the message, and I discussed my question with Congressman Polk before I came, and I discussed the veto message, and we're still opposed.
You shouldn't be. Read it carefully. If you understand English, you can't be puzzled.
Anything you care to say, Mr. President, about the disposition of the mutual security bill?
What are they?
You've said a lot about it already, sir, but I think the Senate passed it last night and cut it $200 million.
I think I've made myself perfectly clear three different times if you hunt up those comments. No, I've said enough. I'll attend to the rest of it when the bill gets to me.
President, I want to be clear. You're going to see General Eisenhower Sunday.
That's
and,
right.
You asked if you're going to see him again Tuesday.
No. Said if I was going to see him again, I said yes.
Oh, I asked, were you going to see him again before he leaves Tuesday?
That's right.
Before he leaves Tuesday.
I don't know what time. He's got a tremendous number of engagements before he leaves town. Whenever's convenient. If it's necessary for me to see him, I'll see him.
Also, I'd like to ask you, have you been informed about this kangaroo that's been sent to you from...
No, I saw a picture in the paper of a kangaroo that was purported to be on the way here, and I thought maybe I'd give it to the press conference. I saw about it in the paper, too.
Well, Mr. President, that kangaroo doesn't have any name. You're very good at naming dinosaurs. I thought you might have a name for the kangaroo.
Well, I haven't seen the kangaroo. I don't know whether it is a lady or a gentleman. I'll have to wait and find out.
Mr. President, in recent days, the situation in the negotiations in Korea and
Also, the situation in Berlin seemed to have deteriorated rather rapidly and drastically. I wonder if there's anything you could say on the world situation in the light of those two.
I cannot comment on it until I've had an interview with Lee Natchison.
Mr. President, in relation to your speech to the elected consumers, do I understand that you think the public ought to own all of the production of electric power?
No, May, I don't think any such thing, and I didn't say any such thing.
Well,
didn't imply any such thing.
Well,
it's clear.
Do you think the public should own all of the utilities of the country?
I didn't say that.
You do not think then.
I didn't say anything like that, May, and when I get ready to make a power speech, it'll be perfectly plain to you, and I'm not going to make that speech now here for you.
Well, I
so you'll just have to wait.
Your speech, and I was not clear on what you meant.
Well, you read it again. I didn't make any such statements as you're trying to imply.
Mr. Churchill told the House of Commons that he regarded the situation in Korea as very grave. Do you share that point of view?
I didn't read the Prime Minister's speech or remarks, and I do not care to comment on that situation, as I said a while ago, until I have a chance to discuss the matter with the Secretary of State, and he'll be here Monday. Maybe tomorrow, I don't know. Tomorrow morning, sir.
Mr. President, a few weeks ago you said you might hold Congress here in session from now until January. They don't cooperate on the mutual security and defense program. Is that still your intention?
There are certain things that must be done, no matter how long it takes. And I hope they'll get it done before it's time for them to go to the conventions.
President, Bernard Farouk yesterday told a Senate committee that he felt that the stretch-out program in national defense, which is he inferred is approved by both Congress and the administration, was a mistake. Do you agree that this stretch-out is a mistake?
I have no comment to make on that. My action speaks for itself.
Wednesday at
7?
That's when Ike had his homecoming at Abilene.
I didn't know it. I hadn't heard about it. I usually watch the television show. I particularly watch it when Margaret's on.
I don't know if she's going to be on this.
She's going to be on Thursday.
I'm sorry this morning about the disposition of your papers. Could you tell us something about that?
Well, I was just discussing the historical disappearance of presidential papers and discussing with them the best manner in which those papers and documents should be taken care of. They're going to furnish me with a memorandum as soon as they have a chance to discuss the matter among themselves.
Things that might keep Congress here?
No. I'll attend to that when the time comes, and I'm not making any statements now because the Congress has plenty of time to act, and there's no use talking about it until they don't act. Then I'll talk about it.
Mr. President, Luke Delegate Farrington of Hawaii and Delegate Bartlett of Alaska have said that there is no hope for getting statehood through this session.
I'm still for statehood and doing everything I can to get it through.
For Hawaii also?
Beg pardon?
And for Hawaii?
Both. Both. She mentioned both of them. I'm for both of them and always have been.
President, are there any outstanding examples of presidential papers that have disappeared?
Yes. The papers of Abraham Lincoln were scattered from one end of the country to the other. And that's happened in the case of a great many presidents. All of whom I can't name here, but I have the list over at the office, and we got a bill through the Congress authorizing the archives to take charge of the presidential papers and also the state papers of all the other officials of the government and see that they're available for future use for the presidents and for historians.
President,
President, one other thing. We missed him. You were handing out so much news over there today. We missed Bill Boyle. I'm just wondering what the occasion of his call. We never had a chance to talk to him.
Bill Boyle comes to see me whenever he feels like it. He's one of my best friends. He just came in and paid me a courtesy call. I had a very pleasant conversation with him, too, Tony.
Well, he was on the call at Mr. Day. That's why I asked him. He hadn't been before.
Oh, he comes in every once in a while.
Mr. President, this is financial repetition, but do you care to name a candidate this week?
No. I don't expect to name any candidates. The Democratic Convention is going to do that.
Is it your desire to have them placed in a Library of Independence?
No, not a Library of Independence. I hope to have an archives building in the nature of the Hyde Park arrangement under the control of the federal government and in its possession.
Yes, where would that be?
Well, I'm contemplating a site about 9 miles south of Kansas City.
All right. Lucky Grandview?
Yep.
Mr. President, Senator Taft favored a $1 billion cut from the $6.9 billion mutual security bill that was reported from the two Senate committees. Senator Brewster of Maine is one of Senator Taft's main supporters for the presidential nomination, yet he voted against every single foreign aid cut that was proposed. Would you say he was being responsive to public opinion?
I think probably I'll answer that on the Whistle Stop campaign.
Mr. President, when did that Whistle Stop campaign go?
Well, I'm not ready yet. I'm going to give you plenty of time to pack your grips, so you'll be all right. That has to be done by invitation, you know. I'm not candidate this year.
Yes, we
have
to. Thank you, Mr. President.
You're welcome.